Obviously, it's, you know, David is loved. And the only reason you're here is because you know David loved you. And he was always praying for you. If you were backslidden, he was praying earnestly that you would get right with God. If you were doing right with God, he was praying that the Lord would continue to bless you. If you didn't know Jesus, he was praying that you would get saved. That was his heart. That's what I'm going to miss most about him. He was truly a man after God's own heart. I was comparing in my mind, David Maloney and King David. For all of us that knew David, he was an elder here for 17 years, part of the church here for about 20 years. He and Ann and their two amazing children, David Cale and Alyssa, started coming here when they were little. And it was just a blessing to have them. And about 3 years into their time here, David became an elder and never stopped being an elder and truly blessed so many people here. But what was running through my mind is everything about David was about Jesus. And there was times where his mouth would get ahead of his heart and he would offend people. But so much like King David, far from perfect, but he was a man after God's own heart. King David, he stumbled, he fell. David Maloney, he had his times where he struggled, he stumbled, but man, he was like David, King David, in the sense that he would repent, he would get right with the Lord, he would humble himself before the Lord, and that's truly one of the most remarkable things for me was just his dedication to the body here. He had my back many times, and I mentioned on Sunday that he always reminded me of a Norman Rockwell character. Just with he'd come in here on a Monday, usually around 4 o'clock, with his hunting hat on and his jacket, and it was usually a good thing when I'd see him come in. Sometimes it would be a difficult time. But I knew, and I'm going to miss those times because I knew he always had something from the Lord, or he was going to humble himself and just say, "Okay, Lord, speak to me, speak through me," and we'd pray together, and it was always amazing. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And David is not here. What's in this casket is just a cocoon. We'll talk more about that in a moment, and I'm sure you'll hear many testimonies about the things David did in his life and his the way he blessed so many people. And he had your back, he loved you, but this is just a cocoon. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that's where David is. It stinks because he was 57. I always pictured him on his porch swing up in Pinedale at the ranch, 90 years old, just swinging away and praising the Lord, but it wasn't meant to be. Let's open a word of prayer. And, it's obviously these are difficult times. Hopefully, this will be a time of comfort. So this will be a time where the Lord can speak to your heart. The Apostle Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are troubled with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." Let's pray. Father, we are here to mourn. We're here to rejoice. We're here to celebrate the life of David Matthew Maloney. We thank you, Lord, for him. We thank you for all the times that he interceded for us. I know, Lord, that he prayed diligently for me and Elizabeth and for this church and for his family and for so many people in here. And Lord, I pray that you would just comfort all the hearts that are here. We celebrate his life. We acknowledge, Lord, that he was far from perfect. He was stubborn at times in a good way, and he was stubborn at times in a bad way. But Lord, we thank you that our lives were touched in a beautiful way by what you did in his life and through his life. And Lord, we thank you that he was such a great example of your glorious grace. He knew where he came from. He knew what he deserved. But Lord, we thank you that he found favor in your sight. And when you reached down and touched his heart and he said yes to Jesus, he never looked back. And Lord, we hold on to the fact that all those who put their faith and trust in you alone will see you face to face. And Lord, I know he's rejoicing in your presence, even as we are mourning and weeping now. But Lord, we thank you that all the promises for David have come to pass. Lord, it wasn't in our timing by any means, but we thank you that your timing is perfect. You are sovereign. You're in control. We know, Lord, that nothing escaped your notice. But Lord, we do pray for Anne, that you would strengthen her and comfort her. We pray, Lord, that you would come alongside David and Alyssa and their families and little Royal. Lord, bless them. Encourage them, Lord. May they continue on to raise up their families in the ways of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for that legacy that we have from David Maloney, a man after your own heart. And we just want to commit this service to you and pray that you'd be glorified in everything that we say and all that we do. It's truly all about you, Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Rita and Krista are going to lead us in a song here. If you know it, sing along.
Sorry, a minute. We don't have keyboard. Sorry.
Sing without it. Well, I don't want to sing without it.
It's so good they have to do it again. Okay, I'll tell you a quick story about David. Is this on? While they're trying to get that figured out, Anne beat me to the punch this morning when she came in, and I was looking at David, and she said, "Wow, you look nice. You have your Merriam and Barium suit on." And every time I did a wedding or a funeral, David would always remind me, "Yeah, you've got your Merriam and Barium suit on." So.
I think we've got it now, Jeff. Should we go?
Yes, I can stop.
I hear the rolling thunder.
You are great, and we thank you, Lord, for being here in our midst. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to minister to all of our hearts and draw us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. When David was here Christmas Eve, we had a great time of fellowship. He enjoyed just having the body together and worshiping the Lord. And afterwards I was talking about going down to Tucson, because that's something he loved to do. Was we were going the last few years down to Calvary Chapel Tucson for a pastor's leadership conference, and he loved going down there, and he was truly blessed to be part of that. And so Christmas Eve I was telling him, okay, we're going down there. When's the date? And I said, well, it's March 7th, 8th, and 9th, I believe it was. And so he pulls out his trusty little flipping, you know, spiral notebook. It was about this big. And he pulled out his pencil, wherever he keeps his pencil, and he would start writing. What are the dates again? Well, March 7th, 8th, and 9th. Okay, and he started writing down. So what days are those? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What dates are those again? And I was like, 7th, 8th, and 9th. Okay, when are we going to leave? It's going to be on the 6th. And, you know, David could frustrate you, but he always got it right in the end. Remember that? My birthday was a couple weeks ago. And I'm not, did you pick this out or David? You got this? Okay. Yeah. Oh, thanks. When I was a kid, I used to play the accordion. Yeah, I know, that was about the nerdiest thing you could do. And so Ann picked out this card, and it's got a little kid on here with the accordion, and either you or David, thanks, wrote my name on here. That's Jeff. And but David wrote, "I pray the Lord bless you in this next year. Thank you for your friendship. God bless you, David." That pretty much sums up his heart and his character. At this time, Sylvia Wagner is going to come up, David's sister, and she's going to share. And then, well, come on up. Then we're going to have one of David's best friends, Jack from Pinedale, come up. And then Aaron's going to share. And then we're going to open it up to a time where anybody wants to come up here and share something about David, you'll be welcome to. But go ahead, Sylvia.
Well, I first want to say thank you for coming. The family and I have been blessed beyond words with all the loving kindness you have shown us so far, and we know in the future. I feel like I know most all of you here. My brother has spoken so highly of you, co-workers and people at church and friends in the community. Thank you. My mom and dad and brother Matt were unable to make it due to health issues, but they want to thank you as well. And if David were here, I'm sure he would be so happy to see such a large gathering of people that he loved, and he probably would say something like, "Wow, this is all for me? I love this. Maybe I should give a little speech." So I'm here for him. And, you know, when I was trying to write this, I'm like, whew, I better cut a little here. That I could go on forever about my good bro, but bear with me. I just want to kind of give you a little snapshot of what he was to us. As most of you can see, I'm David's little sister, and just about every time I met people, they would tell me that I looked like David. In fact, one time I live in California, and I was at a craft fair, and this lady, I go up to her booth, and she goes, "You look like a boy I know." Okay. So it's not often that a girl is told they look like a boy and they're proud of it, but it always made me smile with pride. So don't be worried about saying, "Oh, you look like your brother," because that's something I always want to do. Of course, I have a little Redken dye that helps me not look quite like Mr. Snowtop, but it's okay. That's just a secret between you and me, all right? David is my mom and dad's firstborn. And my mom would always lovingly tell David that he was her number one son. And of course, David ate that up. And while he technically is mom's firstborn son, I am positive that this term of endearment meant that he was her favorite kiddo. Sorry, Matt. But now, while it was very shocking to lose David at such a young age and on Christmas, it's also very touching to know that he went home to be with our Lord and Savior on Jesus' birthday. And if you knew David at all, you knew that it was his faith that was the cornerstone of his life. And I think he would have thought it was really cool to be going home to heaven on such a special day. And as I sat down to write this, it was difficult for me to write things in the past tense. But I spoke with a friend of mine, and she reminded me that it was okay to use past tense with David because he's now been completely transformed and has a new spiritual body. He can run and never grow tired. Those bad knees aren't bothering him anymore. He can worship without ceasing, and he can hang with Jesus through all eternity. Wow. One of the sweetest parts of this past week has been getting to talk with friends and family and remembering a life well lived. The constant theme that keeps resonating in our hearts is that David was our love, David was our protector, and David was our Christian warrior. And as I talk to you, I'd like to share with you how David was loving, how he was protective, and how he was a warrior for Christ throughout his life. As far as love, ever since David was a little tyke, he was a loving and sensitive boy. In fact, his Aunt Sylvia shared a story with us this week about that when people, family, would come to visit him, he would physically shake with excitement when they arrived, and that when they would leave, he would also shake because he was so sad. And what's great is that David still kept this excitement as an adult. Alyssa shared this week how he used to she used to have to say, "Calm down, Dad," when Mom and the family, when we would come to visit. And let me tell you that when, while he didn't shake when he said goodbye, he shed many tears, and he would give you the best, strong, bony hugs anybody could ever give. And we miss those hard, bony hugs, but they're in our heart. David was a loving big brother, even when he was frustrated with me. I remember one time his friends and he were using this jump. They were jumping with their bikes, and there was a little hill incline, and I was holding my handball. And I happened to let the ball out of my hands, and it rolled, and it was perfect timing. It hit David's wheel right as he was going off the jump, and he went crashing onto the cement. And he had a big Aggie marble in his pocket, not such a great idea, and he landed right on that marble on the cement. And he came right up to me, and he was red in the face and hot and hurt and mad, and he did not hit me. That wouldn't have been the case with my other brother, but so he didn't, and he never did hit me. He was always very, very protective of me. David loved animals his entire life, and he was always tender-hearted towards them. And once he chased a chipmunk up a pipe, and that chipmunk decided to play dead and lay dead, and David cried and cried and cried. He thought he killed the thing. Another time when we were in Wyoming, David mooed at a cow, because that's the first thing we always did when we got to the ranch, roll down the windows and moo at the cows. And this cow moos back and starts following the car down the road, and he says, "I sure wish I knew what I said to that cow." Now, another time, we found some frogs. There's a little pond on the homestead. And David proceeded to go get all wet in the water. He grabs up these frogs, and he puts them in a box, and he takes them on the plane home to California with us, because that's what everybody does when they catch frogs, right? You know. So we're sitting on the airplane. The stewardess comes up to us and says, "Hey, what do you have in the box?" And he opens it up and shows her frogs. You should have seen the shock on her face, you know. These were the good old days when we didn't have screening. You could take just about anything on a plane. David always loved fish, too. And in fact, one of the ways Mom used to keep him motivated in school was to promise him a reward of a new fish with every A he got. Well, it worked too well. And we were always in front of the fish store waiting for him in the car while he picked out his new prize fish. And you could never just zip in and catch fish. You know, it took hours to pick a fish, just the right one. And throughout his life, David took his fish with him to Torrance, California, Pasadena, California, Rock Springs, Wyoming, and finally here to Grand Junction. My husband and I have brought many a fish tank in the back of the car from California to David. But what was most important was that David was also a fisher of men. He used any opportunity he could to advance the kingdom and to help the people to join the family of believers. I'm proud to say that David helped lead my husband Brian to the Lord, and through his faithful prayers, I came as well. David was a tender-hearted man who wasn't afraid to show emotions and tell people how very much he loved them. It was not uncommon to see him tear up with affection for his family and his friends. And one of the things that my family and I will miss the most about hearing is when he told us that he loved us at the end of each phone call. Could always count on it. David truly understood the importance of fellowship with others and to be a man of your word. He understood that fellowshipping with others was a command and not just a suggestion. David understood that we need the strength of iron sharpening iron in our relationships to help us walk boldly in the ways of the Lord. And he also inspired countless other people to do the same. He was honest, even if it would come at the cost to him and his relationships. Being truthful and following scripture were paramount in his life. And at times we would say to him, "David, you can't say that." But he would say, "Well, it's the truth." But you could accept most of the time what he said because you knew how much he loved you and how genuine and sincere he was. You could see it in his eyes. He might make you mad, but you could see it in his eyes and understand him. Because of this, you knew that when he gave you advice, or he said he loved you, or he told you that he was proud of you, he meant every word of it. In Proverbs 27, it says, "Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. And the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense." These two verses fit my brother David to a T. One of the most endearing qualities of David was that he was also able to apologize, admit when he was wrong. He understood that he himself was forgiven by God. He knew that he was a work in progress, and he was in partnership with our dear Lord daily to be transformed from the inside out. His priorities daily were God, Anne, and his family in that specific order. And he made sure Alyssa and David Kale knew this fact at an early age. In fact, when they would practice home fire drills, it would kind of frustrate the kids when David would always tell them that he would save Anne first and them second if they had a real fire. Gotta love that brother. Brutally honest. Okay, now as a protector. David was also our protector. He was the firstborn in my family and from an early age took on the mantle of leadership well. He led with spiritual wisdom and lovingly taught us countless life lessons. He firmly believed that you should love and respect your elders, your wife, and your family. For example, when our grandpa was in the latter part of his life, he had trouble sleeping and would become fearful at night. David would sleep on the living room floor so he could get up and wake up when grandpa did. And he would walk around the house with him all night long and talk to him soothingly and calmly until he would be reassured enough to where he could go back to bed and try to sleep some more. He would listen attentively to grandpa. And at the same time, he also treated grandfather with the utmost dignity and respect. Also during my high school years, I was nervous about walking home from school alone because a suspicious character had scared me one day on the way home from school. After that, David took the time to walk down to school and personally walk me home, escort me home until I felt secure enough to walk to school and home by myself. That was my brother. David also has been a constant protector of Anne, Alyssa, and David Kale. They always knew that Dad would be there for them no matter what he had to do, and he was also willing to lay down his life for them. He worked hard for his family, and he loved providing for them, and one of the most proud moments each year came when he would go get his elk and say, "I provided meat for my family." Boom.
Man.
Okay. That was David. He just would puff out. Yeah. That's not bad for a California boy to be able to come here and elk hunt. Now, Christian warrior. David was also our Christian warrior. He almost always was the first one to say, "Let's pray about that together." And when he said he would pray for you, you were confident that he would. Those were not just idle words to him. He was all in for the Lord, and he lived his life that way. There was not a lukewarm part of him in his walk with God. He especially showed this when he worshiped. And when he sang, he certainly could make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And he didn't care how much he embarrassed his kids doing it. Now, in fact, when he was 21 and he was worshiping at a church, he started doing a joyful worship dance, kind of like this. Okay? And, well, needless to say, they asked my brother if he would go to the back of the church to do his worshiping because they were afraid he would scare other people off. But and I guess you would kind of have an idea of how he danced if you were at Alyssa's wedding. It could be a little scary, but he was joyful in doing it. It was one of the highlights of him being at Alyssa's wedding. Now, whenever you talked to David about heaven, you could see that he had a contagious childlike faith. He told Anne once, "When I go to heaven, I'm going to ride a unicorn, Annie." And when Anne said, "David, I don't think there's unicorns in heaven," he said, "Oh, yes, Annie, my God can do anything, and he's going to give me a unicorn." He also talked to David Kale about how when he got to heaven, not only was he going to be able to travel at the speed of light, he was also going to be able to travel at the speed of thought. And he told David Kale that he couldn't wait to zip to Mars whenever he wanted to. Now, that's a confidence and a faith in a mighty God, and I want that same kind of confidence. When David visited California this summer, he came to see my son get his Eagle Award. I remember well the conversation I had with him as we drove back to LAX for him to go home. And I explained to him how I was reading a book that helped me to understand the concept that all things in life are for our good and for God's glory. And Dave said, "Amen," emphatically, sister. And he told me that that was the way that he and I were living our lives. So while it may be hard for us to understand David leaving so suddenly and too early for our liking, I am confident that he would lovingly encourage us to seek God's will and his hand, even in such a hard time as this, and give him the glory. As I prepared this message, I wanted to find a verse that I felt kind of capsulized David's life and his faith and his walk. And while I could find many, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8 kind of jumped out at me, and it reminded me the most of what David strived for in his day-to-day walk with the Lord. And it reads as this: "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." Thank you, David, for being a shining example of this verse. Thank you for being a loving and faithful husband. Thank you for being a wonderful papa to Alyssa and David Kale. Thank you for being an honoring and loving son. Thank you for being Matt and my awesome big bro, and for being my best friend. I'm confident beyond a shadow of a doubt, as you entered heaven, our Lord said to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." I pray you share that happiness someday too. Thank you.
Jack Wickerson, where are you, Jack? Right here. Met Jack, I don't know, a few years back, and David spoke very highly of Jack, one of his best friends up in Pinedale, and godly man. And I know David went to you for counsel many times, and you shared God's heart with David, and he was able to share that love of Jesus with others. So I appreciate you, brother, and thank you for being here.
Before we start, I'd like to just say a brief word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the opportunity, Father, to be together, Lord. Father, I just pray, Father God, as I share, Lord God, that it, Father God, Lord, David's life was your story, Lord. Lord, as you saved him, as you delivered him, as you set him free, Father God, and Lord God, I would just pray, Father, that you would be glorified. Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've had the privilege of knowing David for 33 years. Oh, I guess it's probably even a little longer than that. It seemed that David and I did everything together. We would get saved at the same time. We'd end up in the same prison ministry. We'd end up coming to Pinedale together. We would end up marrying marrying friends. We'd even end up our firstborn being close and our secondborn being close and all these things. It was just really uncanny, you know, how God interwove David and my life together. As I was thinking about on David's life, I was like, Lord, how can I just kind of capsulize David? And the thing that came, what came to me was David's story is a life of grace and a life of thanksgiving. When I first met David in Torrance, California. David came to work at Armco Steel Corporation. We made oil rigs there, and David had finished his schooling, and he came there. And the thing that just stood out for me, David, when I first met him, was David was a man without a mask. Like so much of the world who puts on a mask and pretends and all of those things, David didn't. David was open. He was open with his life and what was going on. And at that time in David's life, David was struggling horribly. He was struggling with his past relationships. David didn't know where life was going to lead him, but he was seeking those things. But David didn't have a lot of hope for the future. For David, he didn't see a lot of hope for marriage or children or any of those things as we would chat. And so David and I, as we would work together, we would talk and we would chat. And one day, David struggled at times just really focusing on things. And so one day he was cutting, we had these gear machines and where you would cut gears on. And David came over to me, he says, "Jack, I can't indicate the part. I can't get it on center, you know." And so anyway, when I came over, what David had done, he had left a wrench on the top bolt, and he just didn't realize it, and that wrench would go around to the head, and the table would keep turning. And so as that table was turning, things were starting to buckle and pull and everything. And so when I came up and saw that, I hit the machine, and it came to a screeching halt. And David and I, we just kind of looked at each other, and then the foreman was called over, a man by name Leonard Mendez. And Leonard looked at me and everything. David was in his, you know, probationary time, and so Leonard looked at me. He says, "Well, Jack, we got to get rid of David. You know, we got to let him go." And I looked at Leonard, and I believe it was God who moved me this way. I just looked at Leonard and I said, "Leonard, I don't understand, but I want to keep him." And Leonard looked at me, and he always trusts my decisions and stuff, and you could tell he was struggling with it. But he says, "Okay, Jack, we'll keep him." And I want you to know, up to that point in my life, that was the best decision I ever made. For then on, David and I would walk a life of faith and a life of trust in each other. David around the shop and stuff. He would visit with different people, and there was people there who knew the Lord, and so they began to share with him. And so David began to ponder those things. And then after that, David began to talk to me. One day he asked me, he said, "Jack, where would you go if you were to die?" And I looked at him, and it kind of shook him, as I said it with such conviction. I said, "David, I'd go to hell." For me, I was also living a life of great struggle. I grew up in a very religious type of religion. And for me, all I knew was God was a God of wrath. I didn't know he was a God of grace. And as David and I just continued with that, one day I introduced him to my mother. And like always, David just shared his life. He was open, his struggles, and all of those things. My mom looked at David and said, "You know what, David, I'm going to pray for you." And from that day forward, my mom would pray for David until David passed. And so one night David was at my house, and once again we were just talking about things of God and just talking about those things, and we watched a program. I can't remember the name of the program we watched, but it was a Christian program. And at the end of that program, David looked at me and he says, "You know, I think I want to serve Jesus." And I says, "Would you like to pray?" And anyway, right then and there, David would pray. And as the scripture says in Thessalonians, it came through the Holy Spirit with full conviction. David would never be the same. And not only did it come with full conviction, but through the Holy Spirit, it came full of joy. And just the joy that washed over my brother's face. And after that, I can't just describe his joyness about everything. He shared with everybody. He was excited and all of these things. It would be just a little while after that, as I was still struggling, that the Lord would meet me in my living room, and Jesus became Lord of my life, and that joy that would enter in, and David began to attend a church. A young man by Albert Hernandez had invited him to this church out in Pasadena, California. This church was a church that had a prison ministry. They had a home for women and they had a home for men. And they invited David to come into the home there and to begin to grow. David would call that place his boot camp. David entered into the ministry there. And it wasn't long before David started sharing with me about this ministry and his excitement for it and everything. And so anyway, so I came to church and attended it with David. And at that time, I was struggling being a recluse, and the pastor noticed that when he said amen, that I ran out of the door. If you got in my way, you were liable to be stepped on. And so the pastor began to share with me and said, Jack, let's take care of this. You know, would you be willing to move in the men's home? And so I accepted that offer. That was one of the toughest decisions I ever made. But in my prayer to God, I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you have me to do. And so once again, I found myself with David. And in the home, David, he was a servant. David loved the scriptures. That was the first grace was the salvation in his life. The second grace was the gift of scriptures. And David loved the scriptures. And in fact, he got the nickname Scriptures in the ministry, because David, anybody said or what they spoke about, he'd say, well, can you show it to me in the scriptures? David was a Berean from the very beginning. He didn't trust anything that wasn't in the scriptures. It had to be verified in the scriptures. And then after that, as he began to grow in the scriptures and those things, when people would say something, he'd say, I got a scripture for that. In the home, you would find David constantly serving. He learned from the scripture that his Lord did not come to serve, but to serve others. And David took that to heart. He served everyone, whether it was driving them someplace or sharing them with finances or whatever it was. David was always sharing and always ministering. You would find David many times just with people alone and just ministering to them and just sharing his testimony. David was not ashamed of the gospel, for he knew it was the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and to the Gentile. And his testimony continually come out. As it was already brought out, David had a big heart. And because he did, it, just the way he shared, it drew people in his times of sharing. David, one time, I remember that David and I had the chance to fly to El Reno, Oklahoma. You got to understand, we were both young in the Lord. And for me, I did have church background, so there was some scripture and stuff. But David was about 7 or 8 months in the Lord, and on we flew to the federal prison in El Reno, Oklahoma. I'll never forget that time, as we had 2 hours to fill, David would get up, and once again, he would just share from his heart. And in that time that we were there at El Reno, Oklahoma, and God would move powerfully in that place. There was a young man in that would be so encouraged, and in his time with David and the sharing and all that went on, that after we left there, a revival would actually break out in that institution. And for David, I so enjoyed with him in his sharing and all that he did, and seeing God move and seeing souls saved and all of that. David would always say, didn't God do good? For David, all the glory went to God. And he never took that upon himself. David, after that, let me go back a little bit. One time, David and I, he always believed that God would protect him. And one time he proved it in a way that just scared the heck out of me. we were driving home, as we did at times from the workplace, and driving through LA and back into Pasadena, California. And he was driving my car, and we were just driving down the freeway there, and as usual in California, there's traffic, and we're just barreling down on this on the stopped cars, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I notice we ain't stopping. And so I turned over to David, and David is sound asleep at the wheel. And I'm sitting there, and I'm grabbing the dash for the impact, and all of a sudden the car just skids and stops before the impact. And I look over David. David kind of, he looks at me and goes, "Hey, brother, what's happening?" I don't know who put the brakes on in that car that day, but like I said, I praise God, you know, for God's grace there in that moment. So I would leave the prison ministry and before David for a few months, and David would eventually leave the ministry as he felt God was calling him to other places. David decided that what God was leading him in was to go out to the Mocroft Ranch and to take care of his grandparents. And once again, just David's servant heart and his love for God and for his family. And so anyway, David came out, and David called me, and he says, "Jack," at that time, the company we were working for was shutting down. He says, "Before you get another job, how about coming out and cowboying?" And so anyway, so I took him up on his offer. I didn't know which end of the cow was what, as I'm sure Michael Klein can probably tell you. And so anyway, I came out, and David and I, we would live upstairs in bunk beds, and many times in those evenings we would have just great times of fellowship. And it was already brought out, David loved to pray, and he would pray for his family. He would pray to be used of God, and the church that we were attending, he would pray for the fellowship. And things were going along pretty good for David and I. And then, of course, Ann came along in his life. And how he loved his Annie. And he would talk and share and he about her. And his love just oozed out of every part of his life. And life on the ranch was good. And we began to get involved in ministry. And once again, God would lead us into a prison ministry, into Rawlins. And we would go in there, and it was really interesting, just in the aspect we would do three services, and just going in there once again, just seeing God work and move, and once again, just the joy that David had. Nope, I don't know if anybody could laugh like David. He laughs so hilariously with his whole being, and I just so appreciated that. And David, just, you know, we would have times on the porch. We would have walks, and David taught me the big game hunting of shooting gophers. And later on, we would laugh and joke about it, that it's surprising one of us didn't shoot the other, because here we had this loaded 22, and we're passing it back and forth across this truck and shooting out the windows. And so another thing David enjoyed, he enjoyed canoeing. We spent many times floating down the river and canoeing. And so many times as we would float it down that river, David would just reflect on life. He would just reflect on the goodness of God and all that God brought into his life. And David loved his children. And David saw, you got to understand, David saw everything in his life as a gift of God. He saw Anne as a gift of God. He saw his children as a gift of God. And because he saw part of it in loving his children, as he saw them as a gift of God, he just openly cared about every aspect of the life. He would share with me different stories and different instances, you know, and it didn't matter if the kids were struggling or what. Pride rose up in David because they were God's gift. And so we would talk about that. He just reflected. He would talk about the future a little bit and stuff, and many times he would talk about heaven. And those were just wonderful times, And then David would be called to come here to Grand Junction. And many times, I miss those times of being with him all the time, but we would see each other every summer, and we would talk on the phone. And when David would call, it was always sharing about what was going on. He loved this church. He talked about how God was moving and the different things that were going on. He talked about his relationship with Jeff. He talked about his relationship with Aaron. And so many times we just prayed and we just interceded, you know, together. And it didn't matter if David was struggling, I was struggling, or whatever. When we came to the end of our conversations, it always led to grace. It always led to God's unlimited mercy and all of those things. And then it always led to a time of thanksgiving. Once again, David was thankful for everything that God gave him. And David would just, he would just break open, and sometimes it would be in a song, and other times it would just be rejoicing in the Lord and everything. And then you could hear the sobs in his voice as he was just overwhelmed with God's goodness, with God's love, and with God's joy. I'm going to miss David. I'm going to miss our times together. I'm going to miss our conversations. But David's life has affected me so much, and the memories and all that I have, David is always going to be with me. David talked of heaven, his joy of just being with the Lord. Sometimes I can kind of imagine that David, if they have a Bible there opening up, Lord, can you just explain this to me? So anyway, I want to thank you guys for being such a special part of his life. David loved the body of Christ. David loved God's gift of the body. And he just so appreciated over and over and over. He just talked about the body here, you know, his fellowship, how people loved him here. And he just so appreciated that. And with that, I want to thank you. Thank you for loving my brother, for ministering to my brother, for standing with my brother. What a joyful leaving of this earth. I just thank God for my brother. Thank you.
You know, one of the things about David that was so amazing, it was special. I'm going to miss that. Anytime we had a board meeting, it really wasn't a board meeting unless David cried during the prayer time. And I mean, but he was putting his heart in it. I mean, it wasn't silly, it wasn't a gimmick. I mean, it wasn't like you turn it on and off. But when he would start praying, especially for the young people in the church and young people that have, you know, come and gone out of the church, and I mean, he knew so many of your issues and problems, and he would just pray, and he'd cry, because he wasn't a crybaby, but he was just interceding on your behalf. He loved you, and he just wanted to see God do a work in your heart and build you up and strengthen you in the Lord, and just see you be the man or woman, grow into that man or woman that God desired for you to be. So I'm going to miss that. Probably more than anything about David is just his fellowship and time of prayer with us as a board. So Aaron, come on up, and Aaron Nordstrom, assistant pastor here, and very close to David. And I don't know if he'll say it, but you know, there were times when Aaron and David would butt heads, and they would leave the board meeting, you know, and then the next day I'd come in, and I'd be like, okay, how you guys doing? Oh, everything's great, you know. He called me up, and we prayed, and everything's great. And, I mean, that was David. And anyway, Aaron.
Hey there. Anybody know what David would say after that? I'd come in, I'd walk in, and I would see him, and I'd say, hey there. And he'd go, hi there, ho there, happy as can be. It got to the point where I wouldn't say that anymore. Because here we are, two elders of the church. You're standing in the church. Hey there. Hi there. Oh there. Happy as can be. You know, I mean, it was just so goofy. And if you spent much time with David, you knew how goofy he really was. And I just, you know, there's a part of that that I just love. You know, and it came down to the place where he was real. He was true. He was honest. That's the kind of man that David was. Everything was hanging out in his life. You didn't get very far and not know who David was. And one of the things that you got to know real quick, if you knew him for very long, was that he was a man of passion. He was a man of passion. And that passion would come out in all kinds of different ways as he loved the people around. I mean, we've already talked about that, that he was somebody who loved people. He had a passion for people. He had a passion for God. And that's God's heart, really, isn't it? He loves people. And he was passionate about people. He was passionate about things. I mean, he was passionate for his family. He was passionate for you, Ann. You know, some of the wonderful times that we have, we're praying for you and for him and your marriage and your love together. He was passionate for you. He was passionate for his kids. I spent time praying with him. You know, when David would come into my office, it was rarely at a time, there was rarely a time that we would not talk about our families. How is your family? How are your kids? How's your wife? You know, and we would always pray for one another. We would pray for our families and the things that we loved. And I'm going to really miss that time that we have together. He was passionate for Royal. Oh my goodness. These last couple years, as he would come into my office, and always he would say something about Royal. He loved that little guy and how he wanted to spend time with him and just have life with and do life with his grandson. And I just was so blessed by that. He was passionate for his extended family, for his brothers and sisters, for his mom and his dad. We would pray for them. For his nephews and nieces, there were times where we would just pray for them. Always somebody was on his heart when we were together. It would always lead to someone, some situation, some people, and he was passionate to pray for them. And it was always with tears. I don't think there's ever a time that I prayed with David that we were not both just in tears together. Because he loved, and he loved deeply. And he loved the Lord Jesus. And because of that passion, I think, you know, he was a man of faith. He truly believed, and that's already been talked about. He was a man of faith. But, you know, there's something about having faith in something. And then there's another part of that that is being a person of action, where your passion and your faith takes you somewhere. That was David. David was a man of action. And many times, you know, he didn't just let his opinions or his passion just kind of simmer underneath. No, it was always there. And like Jeff said, we were often not in these later years, but we were often like gas in a match together. Because he believed what he believed he was passionate about. And we would come in conflict, and you maybe many people here kind of came in conflict with him. But it was because he loved and because he had a heart for the things that he believed. There was a heart behind it. It wasn't just words. So he was a man of action, and I just really appreciate that. He was a man of action towards his family and towards the church. He just didn't say stuff, but he did it, and he walked in it. And I am so blessed by that. And it's such a great example of how I am to live as a believer in Jesus Christ, that I would care so much about the people that are around me, about the situations that I'm in, that I would be a man of action. Not just talk, but action. So David blessed me in many ways as he did what he said. When he said, yeah, I'm going to be praying for you, he would. He would do it. And I knew that he would. And he'd come back, you know, the next day, and he would say, hey, I got an answer for you on that. This is what the Lord showed me. And that is precious when you have that kind of relationship in your life. You know, we were like gas and like a match at times. But, you know, it would either be him or I, mostly him, I think, that he would come to me and he'd say, you know, Aaron, I'm sorry. I said this and that, and I'm really sorry. It wasn't a passion that just runs you over. It was there, but he would often come and say, you know, I'm sorry that I said that. I'm sorry that I did that, with tears in his eyes. And you knew exactly that he meant what he said. And that is rare. And I'm going to really miss that honesty. When I was thinking about David, I wanted to share briefly, and I'll close with this thought and with this passage of Scripture. When I was thinking about something to share out of the Word, because he was a man of the Word. He loved the Word, and oftentimes when he did pray, he would come back with a Scripture, and he would say, hey, this is what the Lord showed me, and here it is. He'd turn his Bible, and he would read it right to you, what God had spoken to him about the situation. So I just wanted to close with a word. You know, chapter 11 of Hebrews is a chapter that is full of men of faith, and that's really what David was. They were passionate about the promises that God had promised to them. They were men and women who just didn't take what God had said and promised and just, you know, kind of believed it. Like it's so easy to do. They did something about it. You see there in that passage of Scripture, in that chapter, you see that they walked in faith. They walked in faith, and it caused them to do something. And that was David's life. That whole chapter, you read through that, and you see, I could see David in that. He did what God had called him. He was a man who would stand up for the things that God had promised. And this is what chapter 12 says. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. You know what? David's in that cloud of witnesses right now. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses of people who just didn't believe in Jesus Christ, but they walked in a way that showed that and manifested God's promises to the people around them. And that's who David was. He was a man of action. He was a man who stepped out and he did what God had called him to do. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses with David there. Let us lay aside every weight. And this is David's heart. This was David's heart. This is what he personally did. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's what David's life was. It was a testament and a witness of laying aside things that easily ensnare and running with endurance the race that is set before us. And he longed to see Jesus, and that's what the next verse says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, I believe that these verses are what David, if he could, he would say to all of us that are here, that we would lay aside all those weights, and he may have even quoted this to some of you. Lay aside those weights that easily entangle you and ensnare you. Run with endurance the race that God has set before you, and look to Jesus, not the circumstances, not the past. He was always reminding me that he was victorious over his past. He was always reminding me. That's one of the things that was so key in his life. He knew where he came from, and he didn't take for granted the life and the gift of grace that God had given to him, the real eternal life that God had given to him. And I know that he would say that to you. Look to Jesus. Run that race. And, you know, I get sad. I sit in my office back there, and, you know, this week I was the only one here in the church, and I was just thinking, man, yeah, about this time David would come in, and we'd have a talk. We'd have a time of prayer. He'd ask me how my family was. He'd tell me how his were doing, how his Christmas was, you know. And I really started to get choked up. And then I realized, what am I doing? This is where David wants to be. It's where he wanted to be, in the presence of the Lord. He wanted to be with Jesus. He lived his life as though he was with Jesus. So this is just a transition. It's a move of his, you know, his spirit into eternity. And I am so grateful for that. And I am so thankful that there is confidence that I am going to see my good friend David. My brother. Because that's what he would say with a fist pump. Brother. Aaron. You know, he had so many great things that really drew you into who he was. And eventually you get to that place of who David was and you're drawn into the presence of the Lord because he loved the Lord so much. So I'm going to miss him, but I know that it's not really all that much time before I'm going to see him again. And I'm going to see him the way that he was created to be. I'm going to see him with, and we're going to have a perfect love. And we're going to be able to worship Jesus together with arms held high, with bodies sprawled out on the ground, with snot coming out of our nose. You know, that's who David is, not was. That's who he is, and he's released to be exactly what God has called him to be.
Sure about the snot out of the nose in heaven. I think God's going to wipe all the tears and snot out of our lives when we get to heaven. But no, I'm going to miss those times just being in my office next to Aaron's office and hearing all that going on in there and his office. And it caused me to want to pray for them. David was... It has been said over and over again, he was just a blessing. He was passionate. He loved everyone here. And I mentioned on Sunday that many of you were approached by David, but it was always out of love because he wanted the best for you. If he knew of a situation, and he knew a lot that was going on in the church, I mean, he would go to that person. You know, that's what Aaron's talking about. He didn't just talk about it. He'd go to that person and say, hey, I hear this is going on in your life. You know, is this true? And you know, can we talk about this and pray about this? And he just wanted to see, again, you walking with the Lord and not ashamed of Jesus in any way. And so that's definitely going to be irreplaceable in a lot of ways. Somebody told me last Sunday afterwards, they didn't even really know David very well. They were fairly new to the church, but they said, you know, I was sitting out there in the foyer at one of the tables, and it was before church, and I was just sitting there just having coffee, and David came up to me and just sat down, and he goes, he ended up talking with me for half an hour before the service, you know, and it was just one of those things, that's who he was. I mean, he would put himself in a good way into people's lives, and if we'll open it up for a few people, if anybody wants to come up and share something that you might want to share about David and a thought, memory that you have, now would be a great time to come up here. And anyone? Yep, Steve. Oh, you can be next. But come up here so everybody can hear you.
I'll keep this real brief because everything I've heard, I knew about David. That plus I obviously sound my voice right now. I got a cold. But I just feel really blessed to have been able to be part of the life group that David, we had a life group at our house. David led that life group. And I just feel really blessed because all these stories, I know these stories, and I know what a wonderful part of my life David has been. The trip to Tucson, I remember, and David was worried, oh, we got to eat before we go, and oh boy, if we don't get to eat, you know, I just can't go that long without eating. And he was all worried, and I know that story. And the brother thing, I remember one time after after the life group was ending, I was giving him a big hug, and David always used to like to say, "Love you, brother." And I told him, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sneak up behind you. I'm going to say, "Love you, brother." And you're going to know it's me because I told you about this beforehand. And he goes, "Exactly. That's what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be like a bunch of these little things that we're talking about. The trip to Mars thing. Dave and I are going to zip to Mars." I heard that story. It was true. He believed that we could just zip to Mars. And he talked about that in our life group. And he talked about all these things. I never met Jack. Okay, I never met Sylvia. But I know the passion that he had. I was thinking, I heard at a Calvary Chapel in Austin, Texas, about 10 years ago, there was a guy, and he was talking about criticism and accepting criticism, and should you accept criticism from somebody, and how do you know whether you want to or should. And he said, when you're talking to somebody, and they're offering constructive criticism, we'll say, you ask yourself, is this somebody that loves me the most and knows me the best, or somebody that loves me the least and knows me the worst? And that was David. He loved you the most, and he knew you the best. He wanted to get to know you. He wanted to get the fellowship with you. And I'm just feel so blessed that I was part of his life group for these last couple of years. There's opportunities that we missed. We were going to go to the, I don't know if you know, David liked muscle cars, okay? That was back in the day, but we were going to go to the Mustang Stampede. I think it's, oh, I don't know. It's can't remember the name of the place, but we were going to do that. And we couldn't because there was stuff going on here at church. And we missed that opportunity. And there's opportunities I know that we missed because David's gone on to be with the Lord. But I know, like Aaron was saying, you know, that time when we're going to get to be with him again is just going to be so short. And just be ready. Okay, I know that he wanted us all to be ready. And he was one of those people. I heard Sylvia say that he was her best friend. And I've thought about that this week. What does it mean to be a best friend? And I'm going to say David was all of our best friends because he made us better. He brought out the best in us all. And for that, I'm thankful. And I'm thankful that he did take me aside a couple times. And I'm not going to say he set me straight, but he shared his heart with me. And I received it because I know he loved me the most. And that was important. And so that's all. Thank you.
Guess I'll take a turn. Long time ago, I was on the board at this church. But even before that time, the first time I ever really knew David's heart, and from then on it stayed that way, was, I think maybe it was the first time that Jeff asked him to teach here at church. Because he was not going to be here. Maybe it wasn't the first, but I think it was. And that was back before there was a board, at least a board as I knew it, here at the church. And there wasn't an assistant pastor. So that told me a little something about maybe what Jeff saw in David that all of the rest of us would come to see in him. And the verse he talked about was, and I don't have my phone on, so I can't look it up for sure, but I think it was Proverbs 7, 17. And his sister mentioned this. As iron sharpens iron, people sharpen people. It's essentially what it says. And that's what I came to learn most about David. His walk with the Lord, how he felt about this body. He cared about taking from the body what he could learn that the Lord had taught them. He cared about giving to the body what the Lord had taught him. It was important to him that people would share what they knew, what the Lord had told them about our Lord Jesus Christ, so that they would have the same joy in the Lord he did. His biggest joy is sitting right down here after the Lord. After I came to work at the hospital, I'd see him at least once a week, if not more, in the hallways, and he would always stop. We would always talk and visit. He'd always make sure that I should have been there for the Thanksgiving dinner because it was so good. But Ann and Alicia and David, that's what he cared about in this life here on earth. And he just loved you guys dearly. I loved him, and I'm going to miss seeing him there all the time and every day. It's going to be hard.
I'm not a very good public speaker, and I'm from Pinedale. I've lived on Mocroft Ranch since 1989. David and Ann were living there. The kids weren't born yet. So I don't know David the way most of you do. He's been down here for a long time. And Jack, I got a real appreciation for you after what you said today. You were really a true friend to him, and I knew that. And you guys were his life. Everybody's talked about how passionate he is. And the one thing I can say from my experience with David that would maybe go along with that is the dune buggy. David's grandfather had a dune buggy made out of a Volkswagen, put fiberglass, took the cover off or whatever, put a fiberglass body on it. And David and Sylvia's uncle, uncle, would drive that around the ranch occasionally for years when they would come up. And I honestly didn't think the thing went over 4 or 5 miles an hour. And then one year when David was up, he got it out for his kids. And that thing really hauls. And he drove it a lot differently than Roberto. The tire tracks were around till winter. And I think it sounds to me like, from what everybody said today, that's who David was. And he was also very caring to my family. Like I said, he was living there when I went there. I went there because of the death of a close family friend to my family and to David's. And I've been there ever since. And my son was just talking the other day. He's very sad. My son's also a very passionate boy. David had a real long talk with him last summer. And I know Palmer will never forget it. So I would like to thank you guys and thank David for being such a special part in our lives. Thank you.
all of us are real sad about the dune buggy because it's going to be really slow right now. So we've already talked about it. But my Sylvia's good. You're going to have to speed it up a little bit, but we'll take you up on it. My dad was the biggest dork. And I studied my dad so hard, I could do the best impression of him. And it wasn't that I was making fun of him. I just really admired him. And I would say, Dad, that's not cool. That's just not cool. He said, Alyssa, I gave up on being cool a long time ago. And then he'd throw in, but the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So I thank my dad for making me the dork I am and for passing on his nerdy things and for being just a really good dad because he made my brother and I who we are and for loving our mom.
It's hard for me because David was a true brother. To say everything in my heart, and I don't have all the time. We spent all Bible study on Tuesday night talking about David and what he means to us here at Calvary Chapel Grand Junction. But as I listen to the testimony of other brothers in Christ here today, and I know, as Aaron said, he's a part of the cloud of witnesses. He is a torch, I hope, for everyone. And I know whoever is born again and knows Jesus and loves this brother, he is a torch. So these are the words that have been said twice already, and I'll say it again. As my brother in Christ would say, and as he would have you to know, that iron sharpens iron. Speak the truth to one another in love. The Lord Jesus told us to love. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. David did that. He did that for me. He did that in our elders' meetings. We are missing a great man of God. Pray for us as David would pray and as he would always intercede. If I could speak to David, I'm sure he can hear. Thank you, brother, for being that torch to the man of God that you are, that spoke the truth in love to me, to everyone who knew you. And thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for men of God who walk in faith, walk in life. Thank you for the emotion that he shared. Thank you for the wisdom that you placed in his heart, the knowledge, his constant hunger to hear a direct word from you, Jesus, knowing that he would, and always faithful to share what you would share with him. Thank you, Jesus.
Say, just because Gary prayed, that didn't mean it was over. That's just Gary's heart.
All right. I just want to thank you all for coming out. You all meant a lot to my dad, and it means a lot to have you here. I just want to thank God for my dad. He changed his spirit and saved his soul. Because of that, he was able to be a good dad to us, good husband to my mom. Those things are saved, and I'll see him again in heaven. I just want to encourage you, if you're not where you are, want to be with your faith, Lord, or just get close to God. Couldn't have seen this coming for 1,000 years. He's the healthiest guy. Life is short. Excuse me. But talk a little bit about his body, because that's the only thing we're missing now. He wasn't, neither of us are very good fishers. He was a pretty good hunter, but not a very good fisher. But I remember one time we went out, I was probably about 8, and we actually caught some stuff. We got 8, 10 each, and to the point where we had to leave some behind, actually. And it started raining, and so my dad picked me up and put him on his shoulders, took his shirt off, and covered my head, and ran me home about 5 miles. Just always remember that time. He was always providing for us and our family, because then I'll be sad to see his body go, but part that made him a great man is still around. I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
I'll make this brief. He loved you guys. No, he was you guys, you and Alyssa, David and Alyssa. Fire and water sometimes, fire and, yeah, gas and water, fire and gas. but he did, and I mean, he was so proud of you, David, and all that you've accomplished. And I'm like, David, where did David Cale get that? How could he be so smart? I mean, Ann would say, well, it's not me, and I know it wasn't David. I mean, David couldn't remember most people's names. He'd always like, Jeff, who is it? Well, okay. Yeah. He struggled with that. You know, he struggled. I mean, he did a lot of things in his previous life that probably messed up his mind a little bit over time. But, man, he can think very clearly right now. He's got perfect vision. And, you know, there's times when he would just come into my office and, you know, we would pray for Alyssa and Scott, and you know, just Scott being over and wherever he was in Afghanistan, flying up high and all those things, and Royal, and I mean, he's so proud of David and Rachel. It was just, he was blessed, and you were a blessing. You were his biggest blessings, and I'm not even going to go through most of this. It's just words of Jesus. Jesus says in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And looking at Martha, Jesus said to her, do you believe this? And she said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world." And so her hope was restored because Lazarus had died. And again, if anybody but Jesus made that statement, it would be just insane. You believe in me and you'll never die. But because it's Jesus who makes that claim, and that's where David's faith was in Jesus, you know, when they brought his body in and opened up the casket, I looked at him and I said, "Well, looks like David, but it's not him. You know, he's gone. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is his cocoon, you might say. This is the body that got him through his 57 years here on life. But when time is up, when God calls you home, the most important thing you need to know is, where are you going when you die? Are you going to go home to be with Jesus in glory? Or are you going to be separated from God because you rejected the love of Jesus and you said no to the cross? You said, 'No, I don't need the blood of Christ to cleanse my heart.'" You know, I know David's passion was for all to get saved and get right with the Lord. And, you know, that's something he instilled in all of us here. You know, that you take God's word and you preach God's word and you let the Holy Spirit use the word of God. And God is faithful to do his part, but you still need to surrender your life to the Lord. Jesus says this in John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He came for David. He received him to himself. He's in a place of glory. That's where David is. He's at home. He's at rest. He's praising the Lord for setting him free from the frailty of this life. In Revelation 21, verse 3, we read this awesome promise: "Behold, the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God, is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new. It is done." Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." David's thirst has been fully satisfied by Jesus Christ himself. And I can guarantee, and I make this guarantee at every funeral, and David was always excited when I would make that statement of fact, this guarantee, that whoever we were doing the funeral for, in this sense for David, I can guarantee if David was here right now and he could share his heart from heaven with all of us here right now, he would say, "It's true. The Bible's true. Everything about Jesus is true. Everything about God Almighty is true. There is a place of glory and peace and rest. It's all true." I guarantee, I know David would say those things because he knows. He is experiencing the ultimate from Jesus Christ himself. And that is our desire. That is our goal. That's the goal of everyone that knows the Lord. We're going to see the Lord. We're going to see the loved ones that have passed on before us, who have put their faith and trust in Jesus. And David would want you to know that God loves you, that Jesus paid the price and he shed his blood on the cross for your sins, for the sins of the world, but for your sins. And if you were the only person on planet Earth, Jesus still would have come into this world because he loves you so much, just like he loved David, and he would come into this world and die in your place. He would take all of God's pain and punishment and wrath upon himself as he hung on that cross and shed his blood for your sins. And that's the free gift of life, is you must be willing to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because he rose from the dead and he conquered the grave, Jesus can offer the free gift of life. David received that many, many years ago when Jesus gave him that free gift of life. And he would never regret that decision from that moment on. And for all of us who've given our hearts to the Lord and our lives to serve the Lord, we know it's worth it. It's going to be worth it. No matter what this world brings, no matter how much more crazy this world becomes, it's worth it. I just thought of something that if you ever wanted to get David riled up, just talk about politics. You know, if I wasn't sure how the conversation was going or David was being kind of quiet, I'd just throw something out there. So what do you think of this decision by whoever? And man, he'd get wound up 20 minutes later. Why'd you do that? It's because he was passionate about life. He was passionate about Jesus Christ. He was passionate about Anne and his children and all of you in this church. And we're going to miss him greatly. Let's close in a word of prayer and give our hearts once again over to the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for loving each one of us here. We thank you that your promises have been fulfilled in David's life. To be absent from the body is to be present with you, Jesus. And when he took his last breath here on earth, he took his first breath in glory, in your presence. And yeah, Lord, it's hard for us. But as Paul tells the Thessalonians, we don't mourn or grieve as those who have no hope. Lord, we have living hope. We have the blessed hope of seeing our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, once again. And we thank you, Lord, that your promises to David have been fulfilled. And I do pray, Lord, that you would bring to remembrance just the word of God that you brought through David's life into so many people's lives here. And Lord, we know your word doesn't return void, and I just pray that your Holy Spirit would continually bring those words that you put in David's heart to fruition. Those seeds that have been planted in so many hearts here would take root and produce an abundance of good fruit for your glory. And so, Lord, we thank you for David Maloney. We thank you for just the man of God that he was. We thank you for the faithful husband and father, grandfather. Lord, we thank you for being allowing him to be a faithful friend to so many of us here. And so, Lord, I pray that we would not leave here and just put these things behind us and forget about the things that have been shared, but the truth of your word would resonate in all of our hearts and minds, and Lord, that we would take our relationship with you seriously as David did. Lord, there's no gray area with you, and we love you and we thank you that you love each and every one of us here, and you demonstrated your love for us, and that even while we were sinners, Jesus died for us. So thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory, all the honor. And in the coming days and weeks and months, I pray that you would continue to uphold Anne and strengthen her. Help her, Lord, to get through this time. And, Lord, thank you for so many family members and friends that I know will be a continued blessing in her life and in David Cale's life and Alyssa's life, Lord, and all the family. So we praise you and thank you for a life that was well served, that served you well, for a life that demonstrated what grace is all about. And we praise you and thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.